people look at some of the stuff I've built and they say, how'd you do that? I'm like, oh, that's God's mercy, because I tried a lot of different things. Teachers would borrow books from me. So, I mean, there's stuff that I had that was obscure. If you can't hurt anybody, then it's not really virtuous that you didn't. And then you have to tell people, this isn't real. Like, what you have, you're trying to sell. And every once in a while, I mean, I just like, you can see, like, hey, here's some cash, you know, give us a great review.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Tony Arterburn, former Army paratrooper, entrepreneur, historian, and podcast host. Welcome to the studio, Tony.
It's great to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what a pleasure. Man, you're a veteran and a veteran podcaster.
Well, I would like to consider myself that. I've done radio since 2013, 2014, when I ran for Congress in North Texas. And I wish I'd have gotten to podcasting then. It took me a while, but I restarted my radio show. I took a four-year break from 2014 or so into about 2018. And then I restarted my radio show in San Antonio and then got into podcasting. And well, that's we could do a whole show on just all the podcasts that I've done, but it's been a great adventure.
Yeah, you got quite a log of episodes there. Pretty cool. What do you find the most rewarding and challenging about podcasting?
Well, I made a decision early on in my broadcasting career that I saw some paths that would definitely lead me to larger audiences. And unfortunately for myself, I didn't believe the things to espouse or say that would get me that syndication or notoriety. And I just stuck with my path. I think a lot of that turned out for the best. And I ended up in an area of alternative media, which, you know, if you want to define that, it would be more like hidden history, conspiracy, alternative history, however you want to label that. And that's where I find all the scholarship is. And my reading of history, my study of history, and living through it as a young soldier, it really led me to, I think it's a fit, very much a calling. And I've got a great group of people that I'm around in this genre. And so I got a podcast called Paratruther, because I was a paratrooper in the Army, and the name of my radio show is the Arterburn Radio Transmission. Everybody had a show or a report, and I'm like, let's just call this something. And the acronym is ART, so it's an art, not a science. So we get into yesterday. I did my show, and I said it's hidden history and headlines. we dive into that. I talk about precious metals, parapolitics. It's a good fusion of things. So the most rewarding part is I get to be myself. I'm self-sponsored, and not that I don't welcome other sponsorships, but I'm self-sponsored, so all of my funding comes from me and other shows that I sponsor. So I say what I want. And so if you're watching my shows, like, there's no outside influence. I don't censor myself, other than, you know, I try to keep it as a family show, and I nix most of the profanity if right. I can. And content, it's really about digging down and finding the truth. I even tell my audience all the time, I'm like, don't listen to me and don't just absorb what I say. Go and find this for yourself. We're not building a cult here. I just want you to go find. I'm bringing up some things that you may want to go look up yourself and digest and see what you think. And it's like a support group for me. Like, I talk about that all the time. I broadcast on Worldwide Christian Radio, which is an old short. It's I think the oldest shortwave broadcasting in America. It's 100,000 watts, so it goes all over the planet. And they link up to. It's really cool. They link up to my X account. So when I go live, it also broadcasts that over shortwave. And I say, well, you're my support group. A lot of people go to meetings or go to friends and family, and I go to my audience and talk to the planet, or as many people as the tune in. So I find it very rewarding, because we cover a lot of topics that may not be popular. We go into some cul-de-sacs of hidden history and, you know, realms of reality that perhaps others are afraid to trod. So I'm glad. I'm really thankful that I'm able to do what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can relate to the support group. That's kind of like the inner circle. It's like the inner circle is my support group. I love having amazing guests like yourself on the show. I love learning things from the guests. I think that's the most rewarding piece for me, is getting to talk to amazing people and learning from their perspectives. And I like how you said, too, that you're bringing information to people to find the answers on their own. I like that. It's pretty cool. So how did you get into the gold and silver exchange? Because I know you have the Wolfpack and the Wolfpack gold and silver services.
Well, I would attribute that, you know, people look at some of the stuff I've built and they say, how'd you do that? I'm like, oh, that's God's mercy, because I tried a lot of different things. You know, started off as a young man, as a soldier, went in the military. I got out in 2004. I spent 5 years in, and most of that was overseas. If you listen to the intro of my show, I'm a veteran of 3 foreign wars. So when I got home, I tried all sorts of different things. I've never actually, other than the military, I've never actually had a job. Not that I didn't apply. In certain periods of time when I was just flat broke, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I got to go get a job. And I just couldn't land one. I always had to dig myself out with some sort of sales deal or, you know, consulting or anything, you know, when you're at the low ebb and you don't have any funding. But I tried all sorts of different businesses. And my dad, you know, he built businesses when I was growing up. And I just thought that was normal. Like, you know, I thought, oh, you build these things. You know, he built a bank, he built convenience stores, and built himself up. I mean, he was self-made. I mean, that's a misnomer. A lot of people say self-made. I mean, but my dad's as close to that as you can get. I mean, he came from very little. And so I watched him build that. He's the hardest working guy I've ever seen in my life. And so I thought that was normal. And so I tried different things like real estate. You know, I tried, I had small restaurants. I did all kinds of different things, and nothing really ever stuck until I found a kind of the fusion of like my love of history and coins and other things. And I came across a contact that, was able to introduce me into this world of precious metals, how it all works, you know, how to buy gold and silver, how to verify things. It's a small club, and you know, there's a reputation issue, I think, a lot with the gold and silver industry. So they police their own a great deal. Like, if you want to make it and actually have a brand, you have to take really good care of people. You have to be known in order to get deals done. So I've been fortunate. I got introduced back in 2018 and was able to make a name for myself. I chose Wise Wolf, and that's been my brand. And of course, you mentioned the Wolf Pack. I started a subscription service. I've got I'm in my Branson location. I have a location in Branson, Missouri, and then I have a location in Denison, Texas, which we just rebranded. I leased an old bank. It's a old branch bank for Bank of America, and it still has the drive-through and like the, you know, the ATM signs and the tubes, the pneumatic tubes that have they're actually working. I've got to figure out how to use it. But I turned that into Wise Wolf Gold Silver Bitcoin. I actually rebranded, did a different logo. My CFO just sent me a picture of the parking lot got striped today. Like, these are the little victories, you know, like I'm turning this old 80s bank into a real bank with real money in it.
That's awesome. I love that you're keeping the original pieces too. That's so cool.
Yeah, we're going to do something with it. It's got enough space where I could actually get in to do some refining. Like, I could melt, you know, jewelry and other things and turn them into bars. And I don't know, there's a lot of possibilities. And of course, I added the Bitcoin portion too. And I've been, you know, into Bitcoin since 2016. Not in the right way, perhaps. I didn't make a fortune off of it or anything, but I have Bitcoin ATMs. I learned enough to be dangerous. And
well, I was looking forward to connecting with you, because that's out of my wheelhouse. I'm not, you know, too in tune with all of that. And so I was really looking forward to getting some perspective on that from you, because I know you're a wealth of knowledge. Like you said, you know enough to be dangerous.
That's true. It's like the books you see behind me on my bookshelf, a lot of those were books that I bought when I was in Iraq on my third tour. I just bought a ton of books and had people send me stuff. And so a lot of those like traveled with me. I think I read like close to 200 books when I was in Iraq. It's all mostly history, biography, a little bit of philosophy. So I'm self-educated. So I know enough I know enough to be dangerous. I think Nixon said something like that. He said, I'm not educated, but I do love books. And so that's been a blessing to me that I had that time just to focus. There's no television. There's not really much radio. You know, I was first Army company on the ground in Kandahar, Afghanistan in 2001 after 9/11. And then I was part of the tail end of the invasion of Iraq. And so I was in Mosul for a year. So when you're the first in, you know, you don't have the fancy, nobody has the Burger Kings yet, and nobody brought in the infrastructure. You don't have maps, or it's just the kind of the Wild West for a little while until they domesticate things as much as you can in a combat zone.
Wow. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Of course. My gosh. Have you always been a history buff? Because I know you're a historian.
Always been interested in it. And I think it's a lot of this, you watch your parents, you know, and my grandfather, my mom's father, Nick Davis, was a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and he was eventually vice president of Texas Instruments. And this is during the 80s, you know, like they're in the height of the Cold War, and he was in charge of the weapons division. So like he's a brilliant guy. So he knew a lot about history. I learned a lot from him. I certainly learned Cold War history and military history. And when he was younger, he was part of the hydrogen bomb experiments. And like, this is back in the early 50s. And they would go out and, you know, witness these hydrogen bombs being detonated. You know, originally, you know, during the 1945, you had the fission bomb where they split the atom. And then by the 1950s, they had the fusion bomb, which is like, it was 100 times or 1,000 times. I don't remember how many multiplications of more terrible it was, but the hydrogen bomb, you know, Oppenheimer didn't even want to build it. He's like, this is, you don't need it. It's too destructive. Anyway, they built it anyway. My grandfather witnessed this and eventually, you know, succumbed to the cancer that he got from being part of the experiments, and they didn't even give him any gear. So I learned a lot about that side of history from him. And then my dad was, I'd always see him with a book, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, I wasn't the best student, but I always loved getting into my own study. Like if I was interested in something.
We're similar in that respect. Yes.
Terrible student. Like they would think, you know, I remember I got drug out of class once in high school, and my parents were concerned with me. They're like, we got to get him tested. What's going on with Tony? It's like, he's just barely passing. And then they find out, you know, this kid has a high IQ. I mean, not high, but I mean, I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I had a higher IQ than they thought, you know? And they're like, what is it? Why? I'm just interested in what I'm interested in. You know, I would bring, like, teachers would borrow books from me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. The stuff that I had that was obscure. And so I've always been interested in history and alternative history. And then I owe a lot of that to my old man. I mean, my dad took me to hear different speakers during the mid 90s and things. So I had a pretty good base of knowledge before I joined the military, but I look back on myself and, you know, I missed a lot of opportunities to learn, but I'm trying to make up for it now.
Yeah. Well, experience is the best teacher, and everything happens just like it's supposed to. I think it's so cool what you're doing with the bank. And we were actually supposed to connect in person for an in-studio podcast, which we'll do that down the road. But locally at the house I'd have you stay at the studio house for the guests, there's a cool restaurant in town. And it used to be a bank. It used to be the bank on Main Street. And they turned it into a restaurant, but they kept all the cool old bank stuff in there. And so like they have the vaults still. And so you can have like your dinner party in the vault, in the old vaults. It's pretty sweet. So when you come, you're going to dig that restaurant for sure. And I'll take you over to the Fed. That's the name of the restaurant too. The old bank, they call it the Fed.
I love that. That's fun. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
That's awesome. So you're over in Texas, aren't you?
I split my time between Texas and Missouri. Right now I'm in Branson, Missouri at my shop. I own a small gym here, and then my Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, the actual exchange. And this is where we ship all our packages out from. I've got a great crew here. I've got a mother and two daughters that actually run my shop, and they worked at the UPS store for years. So like I've got the best packaging crew, I think, in precious metals. And it shows, because we've got about 1,400 members in our subscription service, and those go out on time every week. And really proud of my people.
That's amazing. My my great grandparents on my mom's side were from Missouri, and my my great grandfather Wes was the VP for the Mobile Oil Refinery over in Missouri, and then it burnt down. They had a fire, and then they relocated to Detroit, Michigan, in Trenton, Michigan, actually, and then they put the Mobile Oil Refinery there. So, and then later, my grandmother became the head of trust for Detroit Bank and Trust, which later became, she was the head of trust for 25 years, and then became, then it became Comerica or Bank of America, one of the two, I can't remember. But there was an interesting connection there, I noticed.
I love Missouri. I found my way up here in 2019, going into 2020. My family had owned some land in Northwest Arkansas, so just over the border is, you know, Southern Missouri, and that's where I have my shop now. But at the time when I moved my shop from San Antonio, I was down in South Texas, and I said, I'm going to move up to the where I've got some land and homestead and all that. And Arkansas wasn't available to do gold and silver. And they're one of those states that at the time they still had sales tax on gold and silver bullion, which is, you know, coins or bars, and which is ridiculous because no one's going to buy it. You know, like you're not gonna, no one's going to pay sales tax for money, you know. So that's an antiquated thing they still had. So I chose Branson, and a great choice. I love Branson. It's still got a, you know, it's a vacation type vibe too. We got a lot of visitors, and it's a good hub, and it's 5.5 hours or so from my Denison location, which is just off the border of Oklahoma and Texas. So in between that drive, Mike, is just nice. I mean, it's 5.5 hours. There's no major city in between. We go through Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is University of Arkansas, and that's it. You know, there's just
beautiful,
just the countryside. So I'll stop, you know, I travel a lot. I got my dog Beans with me. We'll stop in different places, get a cup of coffee, whatever. I don't push it too hard most of the time. So I'm on the road either between those two locations trying to build that network.
That's awesome. You got a you into classic cars or any kind of for that kind of travel? Though I'm into like a nice drive. I love a nice drive, and that drive sounds amazing. Nice countryside, 5 hours. That's pretty reasonable. What do you get around in?
Well, I've got a, I went and got on last year a Chevrolet Silverado diesel pickup, and love that because I got a little bit of land. So it's 4-wheel drive. And if I need it, not that I need it most of the time, but great truck. And before they canceled and before they did a, like discontinue, I bought the last of the Dodge Challengers. I actually ordered one.
Nice.
That it has the, I made sure it had a sunroof and, you know, the black leather suede interior. It's in the military OD green.
Wow.
Beautiful car. I just keep that in Texas most of the time.
Yeah.
I haven't even started it, I don't think, in a few weeks, but I love that car. And I have a bike too, but I haven't taken the bike on a 5.5 hour. I need to, but I travel with my dog. So I don't know that Beans would like, motorcycle travel that far,
right? Green's my favorite color, actually, and I have a Jeep, so I'm in Michigan, so you got to have the four-wheel drive.
Oh, sure.
And it's I think they call that green Sarge green. It's like an army green color.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
Olive drab.
Yes. And then I just picked up last year, actually, I got a 66 Mustang Fastback, and it's like a very similar green. It's that army green. It's pretty sweet.
I mean, that's where you have to go anymore to get cool cars. You got to go back in time. I mean, to get cool cars. I mean, where they don't make the muscle cars anymore. They don't make they're not sexy.
No, exactly. The 66 Fastback, oh my God, it's sexy. Like, it's a good one.
Yeah.
The green is amazing. So it just happened to, like, I was trying to picture in my head what I'd get, you know, and if I could just bring it to fruition, that was it. So I knew it when I saw it.
I love that feeling. And I wasn't able to buy anything until, you know, in my 40s after I just finally solidified and found my actual calling. So I'm able to somewhat afford that, you know, and that's kind of a question every day when I wake up, can I afford what I have? So I definitely love having a variety with something to drive, but that's a luxury.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the same. And so I'm 40. I'll be 48 in December. So and I only just got that car last year. So like I started my business, like we talked about, you said, like the from scratch thing or self-made. Like I started on the, after some life transitions and various things, I started my business off an air mattress in my first office. I had the whole like Coleman, like crank the can, it inflates the mattress and all that stuff. That was the rough startup, but I kept going, and I'm almost 10 years in business now. And started a couple more, and then like I said, I was never sure if I was able to afford the things, you know what I mean, even though I probably could have a long time ago. It wasn't until I got closer to 50 now that I'm like, yeah, I think I can get that.
Yeah, I mean, you become a little bit more aware that of your ability to earn, which is I think a beautiful thing. And I'm just thankful. I just like kind of live in that feeling of gratitude, like I get to do what I do even when it's stressful, because it can get stressful. A lot of people think, they look at the prices of metals like, you must be doing really good. I'm like, actually, it's changed the nature of what I do. And it's not as easy as it used to be. Not that it was ever truly easy, but it's definitely harder. So, you know, I can get into that too, because it's not what people think. And what's actually happening is, I think it's monumental and historical. So it's been hard to keep up with. But yeah, just knowing that, okay, I'll be okay. I'll make payroll Friday.
So yeah, exactly. So what does your team look like? I know you said you got a couple of folks, the mother and daughter team, but what is outside of that, like, what does payroll look like as far as a team?
Well, let's see. I've got three people that work here, and my ex-wife works for me still. She homesteads, and she kind of floats and does some stuff. So there's four people here in Missouri, and then I've got in Texas, I have a CFO who's wonderful. She has her own business and bookkeeping, but she's my fractional CFO. And then I have my son in Texas who is 20 years old and just working the business for right now. He's figuring stuff out. He's highly intelligent, and he doesn't get that from me. I don't think it's from his mother, he's a good. The good kid, and he's learning the business. Matter of fact, he just called me. He was in Dallas dropping some stuff off. He had to go to the trading floor for me this morning because we're having to manually drive down and just drop things off that we've bought to get credit because the market's changing so fast. So he was handling that for me this morning. So I've got a great team. I'm very blessed.
That's fantastic. And I love the dynamic between your ex and having your son involved too in the business. That sounds very healthy. How does, I mean, that just come together? Were you just blessed and lucky? I mean, I know that's got to take work. And what does that look like? That transition and pulling that together. I love that. So,
well, let's see. Well, my son, I've been married twice, and my son, I actually met his mother. Both of the women that I married were and military with me. My first wife, she was a paratrooper, very beautiful, very smart woman. And we were in Afghanistan together, actually. And that's my son, Houston. That's his mother. And we got married young. We were just kids, you know. But the world was on fire. And right. It still is. But that's what seemed, you know, post 9/11, you're in the military in, you know, on September 11, 2001, I'd already had one tour under my belt. I'd served in Kosovo. I volunteered in 2000 when I got to Fort Bragg. And so I met Erin, which is Houston's mother, at Fort Bragg, and we went to Afghanistan together. And just, you know, you have that bond of going to war and being in crazy places and seeing insane things. And I was 22. She was 21. We got married, you know, just do kid stuff. And, I look back on it, that's insane, but we did, we got married and we had a son. We were married for 7 years and that didn't work out. But she's a great mom. And, you know, I still talk to her often, and, she's, in Northern Illinois. Then I remarried again in 2013 to, Melissa, who was my medic in the Army. And, she was actually married to one of my sergeants for a long time. I used to dog sit for her, and she had a dog named Charlie in the Army, and I go with dog sit Charlie. And now it's funny because we have a dog named Charlie now, which is the chocolate lab, and it's so funny. But No, we, you know, that didn't work out long term, but she helped me build my, she was with me, you know, when I didn't have anything. And so, you know, when I finally hit something that actually made sense, then, you know, I definitely want her to stick around if she wanted to. And, you know, she's here and supports, the gym and supports, my business. So that worked. I try to keep things as healthy as I can, Mike. You know, I don't live conventionally. We all have a little bit of help or counseling sometimes. I had a counselor I talked to sometimes, and it's like, you just don't live conventionally, Tony. You don't fit into a mold, and that's okay. You know, I see things like this is the way I see them. And, you know, just try to be reliable. And
I can relate to you, Tony. I feel the same. And I often try to keep things very copacetic and healthy in relationships. And I can relate. It's just everything's better when it's healthy. You know, it just feels better. Yeah. You got to keep it running like a well-oiled machine. And it seems like you've got it going on over there, all these initiatives. And I know you were just recently at a golf outing with the beautiful Heather Locklear for the Gabby Petito Foundation, which raises awareness for domestic violence. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a really interesting trip. And I, you know, meeting the family and seeing how everybody came together. I was on the golf course with Gabby's dad and her stepdad. And they're like the best of friends. It was really beautiful to watch. And of course, you know, I get to drive the golf cart for, I don't play golf. So I told Heather's like, you want to go to this golf outing and this, this event. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. You know, so we fly to New York and it's kind of surreal. I'm driving a golf cart around with Heather Locklear, which I don't like, it's like a time travel and go back and tell myself like, okay, things are going to get really weird in your life and you're going to go through some strange stuff, but you're going to go and you're going to be in a golf cart with Heather Locklear. I wouldn't believe it. I'd be like, what's the context here? You know, I met Heather on a plane last year, coming back from doing the Tinfoil Hat podcast in LA. And I had my dog with me. My dog Beans. And so I flew, you know, first class. So I was sitting in the front row and I walk up and so I recognized her, you know, and I was like, oh, I know who that is. Anyway, she's like, oh, a dog. And I told her before we took off, I said, my dog is going to climb in your lap when we get airborne. Is that okay with you? Because that's what Beans does. She looks and sees who the person next to her is. And then she's going to like experiment and see how that goes. And she's like, will she? And I go, yes. And she did. And I look over and, you know, Heather's feeding Beans hummus from a spoon. And, you know, my dog is, Beans is very versatile. She's an outside dog in the Ozarks. I call her Beans the Brave. Everybody knows her from my show. And she was a street dog in San Antonio, but she's a Chihuahua mix. But she was living it up. And I looked over. Anyway, Heather and I, you know, we exchanged numbers and just what a wonderful, beautiful human being. And I love my friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it with Heather. And we, you know, we travel sometimes. So it's been a grand adventure there. And just, I can't say enough. Like it's funny. She plays like, you know, for her major roles, like on Melrose, and, you know, she plays this bitch or something, and she's just not that. She'll make you laugh, though, and I make her laugh, which is good. I mean, she's, I give her credit because, you know, she told me, she's like, of all the people I've ever traveled with, I don't want to strangle you, you know, like after about, we traveled for like a week straight once, you know, she came and stayed at my house in Texas, and so that was a big compliment. But yeah, you with Heather, you know, you got to stay on your toes too. And she's not gonna, you know, she's very much in command of herself, and she's very, you know, got a sharp mind, and but very sweet and very kind, and love spending time with her.
That's amazing. And you and I are around the same age, so we grew up recognizing Heather as a national treasure. So how lucky are you, right? Heather's great. She's got such a great personality. She came out, she was so kind to do an episode of my podcast with the lovely Christine Carlson. And I had such a blast talking to them. And we hit so many topics, and she mentioned a soldier was in her life, and here it is. Here's the man.
Yeah, it's a great privilege. And I tell her that, you know, because we talk often, I mean, every day. I mean, we talk. I just check up on her. It's a really spiritual connection too. And I think I was supposed to meet her. I don't know if that sounds arrogant, but I just feel like I was. It's just a really good fit. And I'm just thankful. So I often tell her that, and I'm thankful that I get to talk to her.
That's amazing. So how did the golf outing turn out? Did you guys raise some good funds?
Yes. And I think that, they're continuing that. It's a great cause, because you get to, I got to see the source of the foundation. So you get to see the people that actually put it together and where everything's, what they're trying to do. And it's raising awareness about signs and things to look for in a relationship where one of the partners is going to be abusive or, could turn, and especially that, the awful thing. And I watched the documentary with Heather. She's like, "Will you watch it with me?" I said, "Yeah, I'll watch it." And it was just, it's heartbreaking, because I know that's like, for me, I'm a lot of things, but I think at the deep down, especially with when I'm a protector, I feel like I want to protect, like, to me, that's the essence of like the warrior, like people maybe misconstrue what on the echelon, like in the pantheon of warriors, like the highest level is the person who protects, like the person who's going to to be gentle to a child, but also, smash the enemy. Like that's a dichotomy that I think is the highest level. Like you can have your people that hurt people. And like, those are the ideal that people say, this is what a violent person is. But a person who's really a protector, I think, is the highest degree of that. And if I'm anything, that's what I would strive to be, is someone who can protect others and offer safety and things like that. And, it's not a virtue to be peaceful if you also can't hurt anybody. That's another thing I tell my son. I'm like, well, if you can't hurt anybody, then it's not really virtuous that you didn't. Right. You have to have both sides of you. And I see, I'm sure it's a story that's been repeated millions of times throughout human history, where you get, these situations with a partner, and that partner is a abusive psychopath or just has some demons or insecure, whatever it is that kid had that murdered Gabby. It's just awful, and so that seeing that and then seeing what they're trying to do is just raise awareness, like, maybe you should stay away from these type of people, or this is a red flag for behavior that you should not tolerate. People should be safe. Like, what if you're not safe in your own closest relationships, then where the hell are you safe?
Exactly. Yeah, that's very alarming. And sometimes those sides don't show until it's too late. You're farther down the road with the person and they don't know how to get away. I understand that. I was training jiu-jitsu during COVID. I started training 2020, and I thought it was just like you said, you have to train like a warrior and you have to have both sides. And I've worked with the special needs community for many years, and I work with many families and young adults, and so I have a very gentle side, but on the other side of that, I was, I had found my way into jiu-jitsu in 2020, and there were many facets to that. So they have the school that I joined up with. There was the women's empowerment instructor, and then there was the bully proof program for the little kids, which I thought was cool. And I became friends with all the instructors there, and I learned, I have a 24-hour in-home care business for people with disabilities. And so I have somewhere around 80 employees, and I had found out through the grapevine, one of the women that was working on my team was in an abusive relationship. And so I had these great relationships with the folks over at the jiu-jitsu school. And so the women's empowerment instructor had come over to my studio and trained some of my female employees. And then I foot the bill for all my female employees to go to the women's empowerment on their own, no men, for free training for them, for just those reasons, for empowerment and, to have conversations with each other as women in the presence of only women to, you know, share their stories with each other and gain some empowerment at the same time. So, yeah, I think that's an amazing foundation, and you're so blessed to have been able to attend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm definitely going to, I told them when I was there, I was like, I'm going to support this next year too. So maybe I'll get to go back out. Maybe they'll have it the same kind of event again. I definitely would do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Fantastic. Any other initiatives like in your local area that you get involved in?
You know, I try, there's people that I don't use the word help, but there's, we try to do something local and then something that's closer to me. You know, if I'm directly sponsoring, and I don't want to say names or anything, but I have people that, you know, that can benefit from networks that I have or things that I have, you know, access to. So I try to do things on the kind of closer to the earth. I don't have a foundation yet. I don't have any sort of directed causes. But people know, I think it kind of gets around that, cause I know when I was down, I had help, you know, like, and you just, sometimes you just need a little bit of hand up to get out of the hole. And sometimes, I mean, I remember times in my life when I thought, well, I'll never get out of here. I just, I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to keep, you know, trying every day. I'm going to do as best I can, but it, sometimes it felt like this is a never ending thing, you know? So I get that, and I try to pay it forward, cause I had a lot of great mentors and people that helped me. So right now I think with what I do, it's just what's in front of me and just paying it forward. You know, I, especially being in the business that I'm in, and you see people like they think they got a little bit of gold or silver, or they found some scrap jewelry or whatever. They just need, you can tell they just need cash, you know? Yeah. And then you have to tell people this isn't real. Like what you have, you're trying to sell. And every once in a while, I mean, I'm just like, you can see like, hey, here's some cash, you know, give us a great review.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Like it's not a wasted trip. Like I'm privileged. I get to do what I do, and yeah. I'm here, and every day the books balance and, you know, the lights are still on. So, again, that's, I just try to do anything that's in front of me that I can, and maybe doesn't have any rhyme or reason or system to it, but just living that way at the best of my ability. So.
We have a lot in common. It sounds like I know what you say when you're when you've kind of seen a little bit of all of it, you've experienced a little bit of all of it, you keep getting back up and doing the thing, and you know you can only contribute to what's in front of you, and that's how I operate too. It's kind of whatever comes my way, whatever presents itself, and I feel you know, close to, and you want to help that situation out. That's kind of, you know, my method also. So I can relate to that. That's awesome.
Well, it's a philosophy. And I think you have to stay, what did Mike Tyson say? You stay humble or life will visit humbleness upon you. So, you know, I mean, not that it's a, you know, reward or punishment system that I actually adhere by, but I do believe that, and just staying in that mindset, because you got to be ready for anything. And karmically, I think that's it's a good idea, just to be as generous as you can, and not take things for granted. You know, it's all, when I see people that are negative all the time, or they're complaining about things, or arrogant, like narcissism really bothers me. I'm like, are you doing a rain dance to ask God to smite you? Because I'm like, is this some kind of sophisticated, like, are you calling in an airstrike on yourself? And that's the way I look at it. I'm like, are you really doing this? Are we complaining? I'm like, there's food everywhere, and we got opportunity. It's abundance everywhere. You know, like you should maybe tone it down a bit on the why me or whatever. Like, it's just, it's funny, Mike, cause I'm sitting here, like I was a world champion powerlifter when I was younger, and I trained, you know, I was on the US team and all this stuff before 9/11. And so I was a young guy, and 9/11 changed a lot for me and what happened in my life, but I had world records and other things. And I've trained my whole life since I was like 12 years old. And so I'm sitting here, and like, I have a pinched nerve in my back. Now, I didn't do that from like lifting heavy. I just slept on it wrong like a couple months ago. And this thing, like, I got pins and needles going through my arm. It's funny. And then after that, I hurt my knee again. I had, so like I was hobbling around. My crew's like, what is wrong with you? You know? And I'm like, it's just an opportunity for me to learn to train differently or learn new skills. And that's the mindset, right? It's like, it's just an opportunity. Everything's going to be all right. I'll come back better than ever. And, you know, maybe late at night when you're like, you know, I'm just feeling like this sucks. But at the end of the day, like if you can just carry that attitude, at least you have the opportunity to get better. But like I think a lot of the negativity and everything in the world is negative, right? That's with me and my audience and things that I do. I don't do doom and gloom per se, because I have to talk about what the actual lay of the land, the word news comes from northeast, west, and south, right? Which is the lay of the land. That's where the word news comes from. And so I try to get the lay of the land, but then I also think, well, this is part of history. This is what's going on. Here's the opportunity also, you know, because it's a crazy time. Like if you're watching like what I watch, not the mainstream financial networks, but the actual metrics, what's going on worldwide with the monetary system, holy hell. It's monumental shifts. And they don't talk about that in the mainstream. It's about politics or some distraction thing. That's the periphery stuff. What's really happening, in my opinion. So this can be pretty scary. I even say my show is the official broadcast of the apocalypse. I coined that. I thought it was fun. which, by the way, the apocalypse doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means the unveiling. It's the Greek root of it. The Greek means the unveiling. So it's just like, this is how things are. So I try not to do that because the world is negative. And even like the music, like you listen to a lot of lyrics of songs, you're I come from the South. So listen to country music and so I don't do it all the time, but I hear songs like, especially from my youth, I'm like, that's some depressing. That's really depressing. You know, like that's awful. You know, I try to stay away from anything that would get into my subconscious that would, you know, change behavior or, you know, make me gloomy, which I already have a propensity to do anyway. So isn't that a struggle?
It is. I can relate to everything you just said, including the pinched nerve. That was killing me because when I, in some of my earlier episodes on my podcast, I had a pinched nerve when I was overtraining. I was working out, doing jujitsu, all these things. And I had a pinched nerve in my neck and most of my and it comes and goes. And so I'll be sitting here like this, like all hunched over and tweaked. And like, I can see it in the episodes and it's so funny, but I still had to, you know, I had already said I was doing the weekly gig, so I committed and I still showed up to do it. It's funny, but I agree with what you say about shifting your perspective towards gratitude, because everything just kind of, new doors open up when you shift your perspective. It's like you said, your life has not been without adversity. You've seen so much and experienced so much, and you could easily go down the road of darkness, but like when you shift to light and gratitude, all the doors open up and it's just such a better perspective to have. And then you can share that with other people and that's contagious. And I agree with what you say too, just about the music that you listen to. And I believe that, you know, you are what you watch and you are what you listen to. You absorb it, you know what I mean? And then it's contagious. So
my dad told me something one time. He's like, you know, because I've met the story of anybody, you meet somebody, you don't know everything they've been through. I mean, you just don't. Maybe you make a judgment call, like whatever, you know, this person has had an easy life, or this person's had a whatever, you know, I can say they've just been privileged, or this person's a loser, whatever you think, you know, you gotta try to be as objective as possible also. But, I remember my dad said a lot of people that have had, you know, your experiences would have crawled in a bottle, never came out. And I said, that's probably, and by the way, I've had to wrestle with that too. You know, it's not that, you know, and I don't totally abstain from drinking or anything like that. And, you know, I use this and stuff, other things, but I even asked Heather, I'm like, does this change? Have you noticed any behavioral changes? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, well, I still have to watch it though, because there's a propensity, you know, for the numbing or whatever, because if you get like a nervous system of somebody who, if you've seen and gone through like a trauma or other deals, that it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way your brain functions. It changes the way your nervous system deals with stress. And maybe you miss some gears after that. Like I don't have a lot of middle gears and I have to be careful, you know, like, so I just try to be as laid, people like, oh, you just, I love listening to your show because you're very calm. I'm like, well, I have to stay very calm because if there's no middle gears, like it'll just go to another place where I'm, you know, I'm going to lash out or something. And I have to just keep that guy very much at bay. I don't want him, you know, I've seen Mike Tyson talk about this where he's like, I miss that guy, but I don't like him. You know, like I miss him sometimes, but I don't like that person I've become. And I was like, I get that, you know, like you don't want to have to go there. And I just think that it's, if you can build yourself back to where, you know, you're in a state of constantly giving thanks and then realizing that, and I think there's a, like the masculinity of Jesus, like think about that. Like there's, you know, this ability just to understand, like, this is what I have to do. I'm going to go through this. I'm doing this for everybody, you know, and not being he could have used his powers, you know, he could have done, you know, destroyed people and used these divine powers to do anything he wanted to do, except he chose to go on the path that he's on. It really is something like the restraint also, I think, is a masculine trait. So I used to think that was weak. I used to think that when I was younger, you know, I used to think of that as a, like a defect. Like if you were going to be, walk away from something, or if you're going to handle something in a peaceful way, but no, there's a real strength in that. I mean, that's the older I get, the more I realize like, no, that's where real strength is the ability to I think Kierkegaard said something about that. There's nothing, or maybe it's Goethe said something as, there's nothing quite so, so gentle is strength, something like that.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that too. I know that that to be true, and I can also relate. Like I've been through all the things, so I, like you said, you can find your way, you know, down that rabbit hole with the bottle, and I've been there too. So I had to do all that reconstruction, and like I said, when I was starting up, I had a whole, you know, transition happening with my life prior to me starting out my first business. And that was where I was doing the reevaluation of with the drinking, you know. I mean, even back, I look back, my brother passed away. He's 5 years older than me, but he passed away when he was 28 years old. And a year to the day of the anniversary of his death, I ended up with the DUI. So, you know, then you end up with the mugshot to prove it. And then, yeah,
I got
you
one
know,
of those.
Yeah, those are lessons that you got to pay. So, you know, paid the price for that. And then I still carried on after that, still didn't learn my lesson. It went on and on and on. And then till ultimately I had to do, you know, a self audit and reevaluate myself and try to understand. I was like, do I control this? Does this control me? It was one of those things for me. And also kind of just reevaluating who I was spending my time with and the why. And so, but once I had, you know, ended a 20-year gig with my employer and then a 15-year relationship, and I was left with myself, a transition, and a new perspective. And I took a deep dive and just cut everything out, all substances. So that was very telling, and it was helpful to me because I started, you know, I think I started with like, can I just do this for 30 days? Like no alcohol, you know, then like 30 led to 90, 90 led to a year. And then I would reintroduce, you know what I mean? It wasn't completely off the table for me. And so I just needed to know if I could do that or not do it. And then, I would also often just like incorporate that into my regular practice of just kind of, you know, a 90 day dry 90 or whatever I'd call it. And, I was always able to do it. And then I was always able to do any other challenge that I put in front of myself, like no coffee, because I love coffee. I would do no coffee for 90 days. You know, just other things like that. But then even the drinking thing, for me, it was like I haven't, on my birthday this year, it'll be 2 years really unintentionally, just because I've had so much going on. It just hasn't come on my radar to get in and go out and like have a cocktail. Normally in the summertime, I would do that, but it just didn't get on my radar this year. I've been too busy, but I was wanting to go out for a drink, for a beer or something not too long ago. And I was like, you know what? The 2-year mark's coming up on my birthday. I just kind of want to hit the 2-year mark now just because.
When's your birthday?
December 22nd.
Oh, really? Mine's the 26th.
No way.
Yeah. I think you're are you still a Sagittarius?
I start the Capricorn, actually.
Oh, you start the Capricorn. Okay, so
yeah, the 22nd okay, starts the Capricorn.
I'm the
26th. That's cool.
I was born the day the Soviets invaded Afghanistan.
Yeah, we're Soul Tribe brothers. I can feel it. It's the Locklear connection.
Yeah, that's definitely a great connection to have.
Yes, too cool. So I'm turning 48 this year. You're a year younger than me, then?
Or are you the same I'll age? Be 46.
Oh, 46. I'll be 46. Okay, cool. This year. Yeah. Got it. Awesome. I love my 40s. I've had so much life experience that I'm looking forward to my 50s. How about you?
Same. I definitely hit 40, and then that's when just something happened. Like, that's when I just felt like I'm myself, you know, and I didn't feel like myself from about, you know, it's funny. I had my life kind of planned out. I was 21. I'd done my first tour. When I got to Fort Bragg, I volunteered. You know, I just said one of the higher ups, the colonel, took notice of me and said, I want that kid to come be my driver. And he found out I had all these titles and, you know, powerlifting. He said, just go lift. This is before 9/11. He said, just go lift and figure out, you know, you want to get on, do, you know, for the Army, just go and we'll let you do whatever you want to do. So I got on the U.S. team. I went to Chicago and won nationals, and I was on this other thing. So I thought, well, I'm going to do powerlifting. I'll do law enforcement. I'll do something, you know. 9/11 happened, and everything changed. You know, the trajectory of my life changed. And after that, you know, all the everything I went through, I felt like I was on this like broken timeline, you know. Nothing felt like it was supposed to till about I hit 40. And I think with what I do in precious metals and crypto and stuff and the media part and doing like talking to you, I just felt like I came into my own. So 45 is a good age. I think 46 will be great too. And I'm learning, I'm getting older, but I'm learning lessons too.
Yeah, but it feels so good. I love I love getting more life experience as time goes on. And it's like each year gets better as far as that goes. But like as a former power lifter, you know how it goes getting older, a little going on with more life experience. It's like, oh my God, the aches and the pains. And then can't train too hard because, you know, you stub your toe and it's a month long recovery.
I know. Well, it's, you know, and I'm trying right now. Like I, you know, diet is really important. And, just how, you know, what you consume and, I got to do better. But yeah, it takes longer to recover. It's fine though. I like it. I like the strength that I know I'm still strong, even though I've got all these injuries and I got old man strength, so which is good.
It's good. That's superhuman strength. Yes.
got that old man strength still. So, and I know more, you know, I would definitely train differently. If I was starting over, I would do completely different.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I get back so with my birthday coming up every year, like as I mentioned, I was doing that like assessment of myself and the drinking and all the things. I had started about 10 years ago, this thing where I start getting ahead of like New Year's and my birthday. So like for my birthday every year, I start on my new goals October 1st, so October, November, December. So I'm 90 days ahead already into a routine prior to my birthday. So usually I'm pretty good. I'm pretty structured throughout the year. And then like summertime hits and I just kind of like let everything go for a little bit, enjoy summer. And I do like kind of more cardio because the weather's nice. I like to walk, so like I like to hit the nature trails and stuff and do some walking, so it's more cardio. And I just naturally slim down in the summertime, and then I'm like, oh, you know, I bulk up or in the winter when I start focusing on, you know, putting on some weight. So come October, I get back into the workout routine, lifting weights, and then focusing on my diet. So right now, like, it's starting to get chilly here. So I'm like, pot roasts in the crock pot. I'm doing all the, you know, meat and potatoes because I love meat and potatoes. I love all that food. So that helps like put the weight back on me. And then I'm slow to go this year. This is really the first year that I'm like, oh, 48. Yeah. So because it's like it's a slow burn getting back into the weights right now. You know what I mean? I'm just like taking my time doing it a little. I'm procrastinating a little bit, but this is why I start in October, so I don't have to do it on my birthday or New Year's Eve. So by the end of the month, I should be rocking and rolling.
That's a good plan. Yeah, I'm pretty much, I stay consistent pretty much all year long. I own a gym here in Southern Missouri, so I love spending time in my gym. I actually named it after my training partner and best friend when I was growing up. His name was Matt Maxfield, and he became a Marine. We were supposed to go into business together when I got out of the military too. And anyway, he passed away from cancer at the age of, I think he was only 22. It was 2004, right when I got back from Iraq. He passed away, and I'm the godfather of his daughter. He had a little girl before he passed away, and so I named the gym after him. It's Maxfield Athletics and Training, which spells Matt. So that's his last name. And anyway, I get to, it's a really great place. I get to go in there and train, and it's like my own stuff, you know. So I control the vibe.
Yeah, that is too cool. I just got the goosebumps when you told me that story. That is too cool, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And that sounds like an amazing place. I had turned my garage into a gym, so I can control the vibe too. So I put some heating and cooling and some AstroTurf in there, and my a Murphy rack, like a weight system and all that. So I don't have all the equipment, but you know, I did the epoxy floor. It's really nice. I mean, it really does look like a fully finished, you know, smaller scale gym. But that is too cool that you have. I'm gonna have to come to you. You're gonna have to come here to this studio. I'm gonna
come out there and see me anytime. And yeah, it's a great place. I've got pictures of Matt and I up some old articles and things. You know, we were in Powerlifting magazine, and just crazy kids. Like, you should read some of the stuff that we were. Very intense young men. By the way, lifetime drug free. You know, like I had some great mentors, like, you know, guys that pulled me aside. Like, don't do it. Like, don't take anything. You know, you're going to regret it. It's bad for you, and you don't need it. You know, you're so gifted. So I just took that to heart. Like, you're going to get like, and so I never did. I never did any PEDs or anything. And I would beat guys that did, you know. I look back on my, I had some, you know, I have to send you when we're done. There's a NBC came out to Fort Bragg and interviewed me. We should play it on the show. And it's, you get 21-year-old Tony at Fort Bragg. This is right before 9/11, and it's the funniest thing, because at the end of the interview, I'm leg pressing the reporter, and she's on top of the leg press. It's so funny. But you get like a view of me, and I'm just big, you know, 235 lean, you know, and maybe 240 lean, and I'm just really strong, and I look at, and you hear me talk, and it's just this kid voice, you know. It's so funny. I don't have the whiskey voice and all the stuff, and you know, I don't sound like this, you know. Yeah. It's so funny. The cadence is different.
That's amazing. I love it. And congratulations on that too. I did not travel down that path. I was a wild animal in my heyday. So it took some time to calm me down, but eventually I got there. Throughout that process though, I did have amazing mentors, and they were kind of finally able to reel me in. So that was good for me. But yeah, no, that's a rough road to go down too. And unfortunately for my brothers, my brother that I mentioned, he passed away of a overdose when he was just 28. He'd be turning 54 on Christmas Eve, actually. He was a Christmas baby too, December 24th. So he's right with us in that mix. Yeah, unfortunately, he passed away. And our other brother, you know, again, wasn't able to steer clear of that path either. So he spent most of his life in and out of jail. And it's hard to find your way, you know what I mean, sometimes, and you got to do the work. It's got to come from you. Yeah.
I mean, and again, some of it is not just me, you know, like there's whatever I have that got me through some of the darkness, I'm very thankful for, but I think it's God's help.
Yeah, absolutely. For me too. So, I did the work and, you know, I know a lot of people are able to find their way to prayer. And that was for me too. I found my way to my spiritual path and then I was able to do the work. And so I was pretty blessed in that respect. Man, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, Tony. I can't wait till we get an in-person thing going because I dig your vibe and love the podcast and the work that you're doing. And you're on YouTube too, right?
I finally got a YouTube channel back and it's just like a fledgling, but you can find me at Tony Arterburn on YouTube. And I guess since they're not going to ban me right now, which is funny, I never say anything controversial. Not really. I mean, we just kind of talk about, they were really bad. And you know, this 2020, 2021 on, if you talked to anything that was outside of the mainstream narrative on medical, they just ban your channel. Like even like in the periphery of it, if you're like, oh, there's also some research and they just cut your, you know, your mic. They love to do that over in YouTube. And you have to like, I'm not good at disguising things. I won't like say a different word to replace the word. So, I'm too old. We're not playing this game. So they just banned me, you know, for years. And then I just started another one. And so people have been like, yeah, it's still up. I'm like, really? So, and I think after Halloween, I've told you off air, but I'm doing like a rebrand deal and I'm going to bring back my financial show. We'll do that with the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto show. I'll bring back and then just, you know, once a week or so do a deep dive on the headlines and everything else with my radio. We'll figure it out. I got a lot of good show opportunities.
You going to get into like financial literacy and just kind of educating the audience and such?
Yeah. With the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto show, I'm about 50 episodes in. I've been doing that since 2021 and I stopped for a little while. Just trying to figure out a better format and like when I would record and everything else. But yeah, we got into some things there that it's just, we don't just do the news or parapolitics. It's like, oh, this is what's going on with, you know, precious metals. This is what's happening with the dollar. You know, here's what's happening with certain crypto. I don't really get into the full crypto spectrum. It's more like I'm more Bitcoin centric. But it doesn't mean I don't think the rest of the industry is important. It's just where I'm at. So we'll talk about those kind of things. But I think, yeah, financial literacy is important. By the way, I mean, I'm just learning to read it. I've been doing this for years and it's, you know, it's an everyday thing. You're never always a student, never a master, put it that way.
Yes. I love that. Those are wise words from the wise wolf himself. I love it.
Well, I appreciate it. You better stay humble in this, but it'll wreck you, you know, like, especially like I'm on a small part of the spectrum, you know, but, we'll have to do that in person deal, you know, maybe after the holidays or something. I'd love to come up and just sit down and talk about, you know, history of coins and Bitcoin and gold, silver. It's fun.
Yeah, I'd love it. And I've got this great studio here and I'm working on an expansion on the other side. It's coming together. It's almost done. So by the time you get here, it will be done. And you'll have to record some content here. It'd be great.
I'd love to.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, Tony, where can the audience find you?
Easy way to find my website. Just go type in tony.gold. It'll link you to my website, which is arterburn.gold, but tony.gold. And you'll find all the links to me and my shows, and you can message me there. And if you're interested in precious metals, you can find my links there too. But not an infomercial, but you can find me there on tony.gold.
Yeah, that's awesome. And also, too, your podcast is it's on all the platforms, right?
All the platforms. If you're going to look for me, subscribe to Paratruther and find Paratruther anywhere podcasts are found because I put everything up there. So you'll see me other places like Arterburn Radio Transmission. That's an older feed. But go to Paratruther if you're going to subscribe and not put the weekly radio show. And then we have some deep dive episodes. If you go through the archives, and I need to start replaying some of them, we have some great stuff from the past few years on Paratruther. I've got a friend I grew up with. It's funny because I dated his sister in high school and he was like 7 years younger than me. And I go over and, you know, he'd hang out with me. I'd take him with me. So he's like my little brother. And now he's a PhD scientist. Like he went like, you ever seen the movie Real Genius with like Val Kilmer? You know, where they...
No, I'm going to have to check that one out.
Oh, from the early 80s? Man, that's a great movie. It's kind of like that. Like, he's super smart. And we just call him Mr. Anderson, you know, like the Matrix. And he comes on and just really has an interest, like scientific view of things too. But he's of my mind. It's funny, like really high IQ, super smart. And then I've got my, you know, combat vet, hidden history mind, you know, which is, it's kind of like, it's not very organized. It's more like the Dukes of Hazzard car, like just like flying over things and
yeah,
causing trouble. He's more very much streamlined. And so it's a good mix. And we're going to do some more shows here in the next month or so.
That's cool. And what a great time to kind of repurpose some of your old content because you're on the rebrand and just bringing in new audiences with older content, repurpose that stuff. And yeah, that's fantastic. That's so cool. And also too, your Instagram is Paratruther too, right?
That's right. My Instagram is Paratruther. You can find me over there. I need to work on, I told you, like I'm working on my socials and stuff. And I got a big trip planned here at the end of the month, so it's like a big rebrand. At least that's what in my mind's eye, that's what I see. So
yeah, well, let's bring it to fruition. Well, for the audience, they can find Tony on his Instagram page at Paratruther, and also some photos of Beans. Saw some great photos of your dog on there. Love it. You'll have to bring Beans along with you to the studio when you come, because we can accommodate. Yes,
she'd love it. Yeah, she's right here with me. I'm just off off
fantastic.
Screen.
Beans isn't going to make a cameo.
You want a Beans cameo? Hold on a
yeah.
second.
Yeah. Bean, they want to say hi. There we go.
She was laying comfortably on her little blanket.
Nice.
But yeah, don't be fooled. This is a ferocious animal.
She'll tear your head off.
It's funny. I have a cabin in the Ozarks, and my ex-wife Melissa came over this morning, brought some coffee, and she had my dog Charlie, and then we had the neighbor's dog. His name is Smokey, and he just comes over for days, you know, and just stays at my place or around our place. And then Smokey came barreling in, and then Beans pops out like a demonic jack-in-the-box out of the bed and just, rah, rah, you know, just really giving Smokey the business. So yeah, she's a ferocious animal.
I'm gonna have to introduce Beans to Burrito. So I adopted recently. I had two Great Danes, and one of my Danes passed away, and after when I was ready, I adopted Burrito from the island of Honduras, and through a nonprofit that I was involved with, the magicmission.org, and they flew him in from the island of Honduras first class to Detroit on Valentine's Day. So I got Burrito on Valentine's Day, and he's been with me ever since. So we're going to have to make the connection. Beans and Burrito, for some odd reason.
Beans and Burrito, that's got to be, yeah. We'll have to, it'll take about, you know, 15 minutes, I think, for them to integrate. It takes a minute. She's funny about that. I have to. Some dogs she just won't put up with at all. A lot of times it's just about 15 minutes, and just everybody calms down, and then she's very protective of me.
Yeah, Burrito's the same way. It took him a minute to warm up because he came from the streets, right? And so he had experienced some trauma, so he came with a little PTSD. So he has a nice life now, and so yeah, he gets along great with my Great Dane Ziggy. So I wasn't sure how that was going to go because Ziggy's like 125 pounds and he's a big old Great Dane, but Ziggy's older now, so he's going to be turning 5, and him and Burrito just hit it off, so it worked out perfectly. I was so happy. Well, it's been a great chat, Tony.
I love being here, and we'll come back anytime you'd like. So let's do the in-person film.
Can't wait to connect in person. And all right, everybody, follow Tony on his social media handles and the podcast. All right, guys, that's a wrap.